try to unpack a little bit the title, Just Dying for a Bud, Foster's, Carlsberg, Heineken, Stella, Beck's, HIV/AIDS, International Breweries, and their throwaway Cambodian promotion women. Is this an unjust case that we're making? Well, as we unravel the story, we'll leave it to you to decide. One detail is almost all of this work is very collaborative work. Collaborative with our students here at Guelph, collaborative with our co-workers in Singapore, students there, and with our colleagues, medical and citizens in Siem Reap, who are more and more taking the initiatives. And some of the names of the students who have been helpful here at Guelph, some of the names you'll recognize, some are here this evening, and we want to thank them for all the help as well as all our. We couldn't give these talks and present the data and the programs without all of this collaborative, multidisciplinary, international group. Beer promotion saleswomen, or often called beer girls locally there, and I'll sometimes use that terminology, as indirect sex workers, the response of one company, Foster's, was that we can't have prostitutes selling the national icon. And they were quite upset, but would actually do nothing to help the young women who were selling their product exclusively in Siem Reap. From the various interviews that we did in focus groups, summarized in part in Megan McCourt's thesis, we have learned about the workplace risks and insufficient remuneration of these so-called beer girls. They exclusively market one international brand of beer in restaurants each evening. They're paid by the distributors between $2 and $3 either a day or per case of 24 cans of beer, about half of what they require to support their families. 32% are single mothers. 90% report sending money home to support their rural families, the tradition of having at least one or several family members come into the urban areas to work and send money back to the farms. Among the brands that they market exclusively are, in the period that we've been interviewing from 2000 to 2003, Labatt's Ice, Budweiser, Heineken, Stella Artois, Cass Beer, Foster's, Ballyhigh, Carlsberg, Singha, Leo, ABC San Miguel, Tiger, Beck's, Ceres, Three Horses, that's a Dutch beer, Jade, as well as cognacs from Otard, Remy Martin, Hennessy, whiskies such as Johnny Walker, and Australian and European wines such as Robert's Estates from Victoria, Australia. The beer promotion women sometimes drink with the customers in order to reach their sales quota. If you have to sell 24 cans, if you sit with a customer and go through 12 rounds, you make your quota, especially if the customer is paying for all 24 beer. But at the end of that evening, judgments of both parties are often quite clouded. And should a sex take place, 24% of the time it's without condoms. So we've said that on occasion they will accept after hour sex for money, since they're paid about 50% of the monthly income that they need. Many are obliged to use this as an alternate, a second job. Beer girls are officially listed among the non-brothel-based indirect sex workers in Siem Reap. And as Sarath said, along with massage workers, sometimes discotheque dancers, although I think they've closed most of the discotheques now, karaoke singers, although Hun Sen, the Prime Minister, closed all the karaoke bars, they've sort of come back in a different form in Siem Reap. The client has to choose his beer brand during competitive bidding for his attention. And you can sort of, we've filmed a lot of what we call swarming activity, where two men will come into a restaurant and 30 women will, each representing, sometimes two or three representing the same brand, will gather around the table and try to attract the attention so that they can perhaps sell a case of beer to the person or share it among friends. Beer drinking is glorified, according to an article by Xu Mengtar and Peter Agleton, among men. And at this table, this is a wedding. Foster's has supplied the exclusive beer for, I counted 20 rounds of beer, and I was the only one that went through 20 rounds of distilled water. But I still had to keep up round for round. There's a tremendous social pressure to drink among the men. This is the third day on the job with Budweiser, and she hadn't yet learned how to pour the beer down the side of the glass, so it was basically all foam. She also didn't know what the local pricing arrangements were and offered Budweiser $2, massage $5, sleep $10. Three of these four women actually became peer educators in 2002 with Cercese. 19 to 23% of the beer girls, as Saraf pointed out, are HIV seropositive. And in 2003, we were able to stay in contact with three of these four women. We've lost touch with one. We don't know what's happened to her. Megan's thesis, by the way, is called A Social Psychological Grassroots Empowerment Pilot Project for the Beer Girls, or Female Indirect Sex Workers in Cambodia. And we draw heavily upon this work. It's quite spectacular. This is Pam Trout, another student who came to work with some of the workshops with us. And the tourists expected this year about 400,000, although SARS has slowed things down for several months, but it's picking back up again. In 2006, 1 million tourists are expected, and the airport is being expanded, runways and hotel industry is in a rather large growth pattern right now. This is one of the Foster's beer girl speaking with the translator behind her on the right, and two doctors from the French NGO Esther, which Saraf has told you about, which along with Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, supplied in 2003 and 4 the antiretroviral therapy to a limited number of persons living with HIV/AIDS in Siem Reap. Originally, we believed when the program came in that there would be no more than 500 people eligible in the program out of the 10,000 people living with AIDS. I'm told now that the limits are being greatly increased, and that pretty well almost anyone who needs the antiretroviral can have it. Again, there's some problems with this because in order to get on antiretroviral, there is required the CD4 blood monitoring counting, and currently this is sort of done by hand by a technician, and it takes about an hour to do a test, so you can do about six a day if you count the number of people that need to be tested, etc. So it'd be nice to get some equipment that could just do the simple kind of testing that most of our clinics do. Recently, when some Canadian and American doctors toured the Siem Reap facilities, they noticed a very fancy machine for analyzing the HIV/AIDS results, but the same machine can be used for testing about 12 other major illnesses that are prevalent in Siem Reap. However, the French government, which donated the equipment, only supplies the reagents or the products for this one test, HIV/AIDS, under a special project. No one else has donated reagents for all the other tests that could be done when the patient was there on the same machine, much as we do multi-testing here in Canada. One of the reasons that we put this slide up is this is another example. This Foster's beer girl was actually talking that night with Pascal and Alice from France. Alice is a medical student at the University of Brest, and she's now been replaced by another medical student who's come, who is Roseanne. And University of Brest sends their students for 6 months to a year to participate in the antiretroviral program with Esther and Médecins Sans Frontières. The beer girl is speaking of her colleague V.
And this is one of the beer girls that we heard an awful lot about in July of 2002 when we went back. It turns out that she had died several weeks before we got there. And because she had no relatives and the beer company was not responsible for her dying on the job, her body was actually discarded without a proper funeral service. And all of her coworkers were extremely upset. And when we heard the translations, our translator often used the word throwaway. Hence, we sort of adapted the notion that, and one beer girl said, look, we work for them our whole career, only for one company, we only sell their product. And when we die, they throw us away. So we've sort of adopted that notion of throwaway. And both V and Neep, Srei Neep, who was a friend of the young woman who's sitting here, the Foster's woman, both died before the antiretroviral programs had opened in Siem Reap. And there was only a small program at that point available in Phnom Penh for about 400, I think, people. Sarah Stout from Denmark, Cass Beer, owned by Interbrew, I think, now. Heineken, of course. Heineken used to have a business suit outfit that they gave, a sort of power business suit. They switched to a more, what's called a slinky outfit. I don't know exactly why, but that's how their promotion people describe it. And Remy Martin and other companies also use women to distribute their products on a sort of nightly quota basis, and it's up to the women to meet their quota, so the distributors know that they're going to get fixed income every month. It's a very nice way of selling a product if you don't have to worry, the women have to worry about making their quota. Why does this worry us that the women are selling beer? Well, when we look at the blood tests for those who voluntarily come to the clinic, and we're going to compare that to the Sentinel survey surveillance data, the main difference for those of you who sort of know statistics is if you take a random sample of the population, you get a different statistic than if you just come to a place where you say anyone who's worried and wants to get a test can come and find out the results and get counseling. So that you tend to get more people who are more likely to be at risk coming to voluntary counseling and being tested than if you just took a random sample in a room. So the HSS is more of a random sample, thought to be. One of the problems with that is it takes equal numbers of people from urban and rural settings, and in Siem Reap province, the rural rate is very, very low, close to zero or so, and it gets averaged in with the urban rate of close to 7 or 8, and so you come up with a provincial rate of 4.2, and you say, well, that's not bad, but in fact, in the city, where much of the sex work and indirect sex work goes on, you have a higher rate. So we're going to just look at the rates for all women, and this includes the indirect sex workers and the married women, the antenatal care women. It went up in 3 years, 2001 to 2003, from 17% to 31%. That's for all women together, but that's including two different samples of women. For all men, it also went up from 23% to 35%. These are people coming voluntarily saying, I'd like to test, please, and I'd like to know the results, and if I'm positive, I'd like free counseling. The married, pregnant, ANC women, if we take them out of the women's sample, they go from 11% to 37%. In just 2 years, or over three years. And that's very, very alarming. If we look at the HSS urban married sample, that is the random sample in the community, which should be lower, it goes actually slightly down from 8.7% in 2000 to 6.8% in 2002. So we're not quite sure why that is, and in fact we're doing a study right now in which we're asking of the HSS women, the random sample, as they come out of their random sampling, giving blood, we're asking if they would answer a few questions, and we're giving them a short version of a questionnaire that we now ask of almost all the women who come for voluntary testing. We're going to see whether they're equally worried about having HIV versus the voluntary group. And maybe we can shed some light on why these statistics are so different. The indirect sex workers, this is from those who voluntarily come for testing, 16%, 19%, 16%. Kind of, no matter how much education campaign, it stays about the same. And for the random sample in Siem Reap province, for the same group, it's actually a little higher. So we're not quite sure, maybe they're not coming to test at our center, they're getting private tests at the pharmacy or whatever. The direct sex workers, when they voluntarily come forward, it seems to be going down from 43% to 27%, but this is only partial data for the year 2003. And in the random sample, it seems to be about 29%, 37%. So we believe it's still somewhat high in the community. And to be able to say for a group of, say, 400 women that almost 40% of them are HIV positive, and if they're not on, if they can't get on antiretrovirals, we'll be dead within probably less than 2 years. This is a kind of a tremendous loss in the community for the young women in the community, men as well. And as Seraph has pointed out, often children are becoming orphans. The notion of fair trade beer. Should the beer companies be responsible for the health and safety of their salespeople? These salespeople are bringing in lots of money to their shareholders. Hope none of you own shares. But it turns out that if you're, some of you own without knowing it, if you're a teacher in Ontario, most of the pension plans are in beer stocks because it brings in a really good, it's hard to avoid investing in beer. We think that the companies, we're trying to draw to their attention the fact that the companies have about, their employees have 20% rate of HIV/AIDS and are dying on the job. No corporation that I know of anywhere else has rates this high among their workforce without doing something about it. The beer girls who die on the job are replaced by new arrivals from the countryside who may have, some of the ones that we've interviewed, have had less than 1 hour of training, like the Budweiser woman who didn't know how to pour the beer even. Most learn how to pour the beer, clean the glass, keep the tab from the beer cabinet. They collect the tab in a little pocket as proof of how many beers they sold. Student beer drinkers, student pub managers, other consumers, buyers, or investors may wish to consult a website before making informed choices among beer brands who are either doing fair or not so fair treatment of their workers in Cambodia. And by the way, I use the word workers. All of the beer companies refrain from using such terms as employees, workers, staff, when referring to beer promotion women. We've asked that they pay an adequate wage of $5 a day or per case of beer. Case of beer sells about $36. We think $5 of that would be fair. We've asked also for full medical treatment, including supplying antiretrovirals if needed for those who are seropositive for HIV/AIDS. That's 20% of the beer girls. And what does this mean effectively? Right now it costs Medicine Sans Frontières about $360 per worker per year to keep them alive using the clone medications from Thailand. Companies, these young women are bringing in about $13,000 to the companies. They can surely afford $360. The beer girls cannot. The beer girls, this represents half of their annual salary, and as we say, most of them have family obligations. We've also asked that the beer companies extend the coverage to all their so-called indirect employees, the beer promotion women. Indirect is an employee of a phrase coined by Michelle Landsberg to describe the beer promotion women. So if you look at either ethicalbeer.com or fairtradebeer.com, in the near future, about 2 weeks' time, we should have a site up for information and consumer action. The third site, beergirls.org, will largely be information about beer girls' past and present and their stories. This is just the first mock-up that's gone out to lawyers for some advice of the fair trade beer, and at one point it will have all the different brands listed on the right-hand side, and there'll be a sort of, some sort of scorecard of all of those that have met the criteria for fair trade beers, or ethical beers, in Cambodia. So far, none will be moving over, but we hope, perhaps soon they will. Some discussions ongoing with Heineken breweries. This was reported in the Dutch press recently. On their website, they promote responsible consumption. In their communication and research section of the website, they report that they start dialogue with NGOs and collaborate with professionals to develop social responsibility programs. We'll see how they implement that. Heineken, in May, told Dutch reporter Yukuma in Trouw that they have explained their company policy to Lübeck and have also cut off contact with the professor. When Lübeck reported that the beer promotion women are paid too little to support a family without extra work, based on the survey data that we had, and that this work might include risky sex work, Heineken replied that it does not plan to increase the payments received by beer girls. Quotes, poverty-related problems we cannot solve out of the Netherlands. We pay the women there according to local standards. In Cambodia, we belong to the best paying in the beer industry. The income the beer girls earn is even several times greater than what civil servants earn. Maybe it's not an ample income, but it is certainly enough to live off. Well, we have data that says otherwise. Concerning the antiretrovirals, those of you who know Heineken, they actually brought out a program on antiretrovirals for all their workforce worldwide. It was one of the best in the business. If you work for Heineken, if you work for Heineken, not promote their beer, but work for them, and get sick and need antiretrovirals anywhere in the world, if the national health scheme does not pay for it, if you do not have insurance to pay for it, and if there is supervision for giving you the pills under the special regime dictated by the World Health Organization, those conditions are met, Heineken will pay for the antiretrovirals. When we ask them to pay for the beer girls, this is what they reported. Concerning the antiretrovirals, their spokesman, Mr. Bezeling, says, we're in the business of beer, not in medical care. Our primary attention is to our own employees. If because of local government there is no medical care available, then we have a job to do, or a task for ourselves. For our own employees, we have an HIV/AIDS program. In Cambodia, this means that most PGs, promotion girls, are not employed by Heineken, and in addition, there is a medical infrastructure in that country. Well, as Seraph has explained, the government does not supply antiretrovirals as Medecins Sans Frontières, that at the time of this statement, supplying 500 places in an antiretroviral program. So Heineken, we don't think, is quite telling the way it is, and when we try to correct that impression, as they indicate, they no longer answer emails, or we have to debate through the press, the same thing for Foster's, and Interbrew has another, they just don't answer the phone, or they put a telephone tag, and they have a different stuff.
Thank you.